بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خم أصل كيم بده خم با spent about week two weeks and the sheikh gave him إجازت you can continue. So this got the rest of the reading got them worried. We are struggling here for years and nothing is happening. This man came in 1 week, 2 weeks, got ijazat and he's gone. Perhaps the Sheikh is not making tawajjuh dua for us. We told him, iska kaam ban gaya aur hum reh gaye. So the news goes around. So the Sheikh, he asked all the Mutalifin to see this tree here, it's fresh, green, break the branches and bring it here. So they broke the branches, then the Sheikh asked them, alright, now study the light. Now it's not lighting, trying. Of lighting. So then he asked them, alright, see this tree is dried out completely. Break that tree. Dried to the core. Now set it alight. In moments it was alight. So the Sheikh then explained to them, you see, this person, he dried out the moisture of temptation, he dried out the moisture of wrong emotions, manners, wrong temptations, and wrong emotions. Two things that throw him from the path. Sometimes his emotions are wrong, and sometimes the temptations are not right. And these are the two things that he must keep checking himself: emotions and temptations. So, temptations, wrong temptation, we all know. Emotions, generally, when they talk about emotions, they talk of anger, pride, and that type of things. So, you are driven or you are misdirected. Sometimes you are directed, sometimes you are misdirected because of temptation, because of wrong emotions. But now this person, he worked on himself. He worked and he got the temptations under control. He's got the emotions under control. So he's dried out all that moisture of temptation, all the moisture of emotions, everything's dried out. He came now and was dried out. So it was just a time for me to set him alight, and he lit up. When they say lit up, what they mean, so the benefit that you get at the presence of the Sheikh, at the first entry level, is called inikasi. Inikasi is like a reflection. So you come into the environment and you feel motivated, feel like doing things. So that first entry level is not you. It is the environment. The blessing of the environment drives you. The proof of it is that you're thrown out of the environment, again you're back to square one. In the environment, you're doing well. Out of the environment, again you're the same. So, it's just the blessing of the environment that's given you some drive, some motivation. let's call it inikasi, it is just an entry level. You go to a perfumer, and now you think that I am perfumed. But that perfume is only until you are by the perfumer. You left the shop again. Same. So, this first level is called inikasi. It is just the blessings of the environment that has affected you. So sometimes a person gets into an imagination. Imagination works on him. I got it. See, I came here and I got it already. It's just an imagination. Then, if he is fortunate enough and he's persistent, you see. See, the path is such, he cannot say when you'll get it. Why we can't say? Because each person comes with a different capacity. When he comes with a different capacity, then he gets according to his capacity. Some stains are very stubborn. Some stains are very easy. So those stains have to be all washed out. Now, I can't say now that the stain will be washed out in half a day. I can't say in 2 days. It's left to the individual with what force he washes those stains. He washes the stain with force, inshallah, the road opens out. So the mashayikh, not the... They don't give you. The giver is Allah. So, it's the force that you open the tap that you get the flow. You open it slowly, you get a slow flow, and you open it with force, then you get it accordingly. So, the tap doesn't give anything. It's the user and how much he exerts himself. He exerts himself, opens it half, it half. Opens it lightly, he gets a light flow. He opens it with force, he gets a strong flow. So it's upon the user, how he uses himself. So, the one that really wins in this path here is the one that comes with an undefined charter. How long will I stay here, what am I going to do, undefined. So he's left all the printings to the sheikh, you do it as you want. Right. Now why do they say this? They say this because if you define, right, this is the period, what I'm going to do, etc., etc. So there's something already in your mind, you have to work like this. Right. Then when your mind is like that, you've already worked your mind, then you've got a limit. Right? The mind is limited. If the mind is limited, it's not unlimited, then you haven't got an open slate. If there isn't an open slate, then the sheikh can't work on you as he would have desired to work on you. As compared to a person saying, oh, I will do what you want, what you say. I won't leave it to myself, not to my discretion, is what you're going to say. Then the sheikh will work on him, and as he's working on him, then he's got an open slate, he's got an open mind to work on him openly, freely. Now, why this is different to any other science? See, now you've got a lot of other sciences, you've got kitabs, qiraat, etc. Why is this distinct? The thing is this, that this is quite different to every other science. The whole idea here is to connect you to Allah. The rest of the sciences was to connect you to the Word. Right? And this is to connect you to the Being. So it is the same. You got connected in one situation to the Word. And the other situation you got connected to the Being. Is it the same? Or is it chalk and cheese difference? Absolute, total difference. But this is like the ultimate. So in the ultimate, then the mind must be also at its ultimate. Then, Allah Ta'ala willing, you will reach the ultimate. So you may ask, alright, what frame of mind you must be sitting here with? Not to reach maqamat and positions and any experience of that. Then what? What frame of mind is the safest mind, safest to be sitting here with? Then, my understanding, the safest frame of mind is the frame of mind of Afala akunu abdan shakura. I came here, why? Came here to learn how I must become a grateful servant. Two things, I must be a servant, and with being a servant, I must be also grateful. So I must learn to become a servant. Allah made me a servant. So when Allah made me a servant, I must learn what it is to become a servant. And when He wants me to become grateful, then I must learn how to become grateful. So, two things I have to earn. I have to learn how to become a servant. What is it required? So, someone purchased one slave, and he asked the slave, what work will you do? So the slave says, whatever you say. And what's your name? Whatever you suggest. What will you eat? Whatever you offer. What will you wear? Whatever you clothe me with. Where will you stay? Whatever you offer. So master, he thanked the slave. He says, really, you taught me the meaning of servitude. That when we declare ourselves to be servants of Allah Ta'ala, we can't have a choice of our own. One is, you just say, he's a servant, he's a worker. He's a different thing. There you're saying, abd. Fala akunu abd. Abd is different, and amil is different. One is working for him, he's different. And abd is different. Our elders, how they explain it. That abd, he doesn't have any confirmed charter. It's not a confirmed charter. The appointment is not confirmed. This work, you do this work. But abd has got a very, very broad meaning. Because the master has got the right to ask him to do anything. Today, the master can ask him, you sweep the floor. And the slave got no choice but to do it. So the slave asked him to sweep the floor. Tomorrow you can ask him to wash the toilet. He got no choice but to do it. And the next day you can ask him, alright, now wash the walls. No choice. Then by the fourth day he's got the choice to tell him, now scrape the floor, scrape the plate. Then by the fifth day you can tell him, alright, now see, I'm undertaking a journey, going for Hajj, 2 months. So you must sit in my place, you must sit on the throne and govern all the affairs. So from the street sweeper to a king, you have no choice but to comply. So that's called abd. Afala akunu abdan. When it's abdan, then you can't say, no, I'm abd, I'm not abd. You can't say that. You don't have the choice. Abd, you come with a full, free mind of abd. Complete mind. Now when you come with the true, complete mind, then you see the beauty of abdiyat. And if you don't, then you will see something, but that's it. What you came with, that's what you will get. Now, this is where the Bani Israel went wrong. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَسْبَحُوا بَقَارًا. Allah Ta'ala commanded them, go and sacrifice a cow, baqara. In India, they have every year they have a fight, right? fight is about slaughtering the cow. Because the Hindu, he worships the cow. And the Muslim says, it's like any other animal, like sacrifice cows, sacrifice goats, sheep, camels. So this is like one of those animals, always a fight. So now, Muslims slaughtered one cow, so there's a court case. So in the court appearance, the Hindu advocate, he says, see, they must sacrifice a goat. Because, see, the whole verse is Bakri Eid. What they say? Bakri Eid. In India, they say Bakri Eid. Bakri, what is Bakri? Bakri is a goat. So the Muslim advocate, he stood up and he says, alright, bring all the Arabic dictionaries, and this is going to be a decisive moment. This is going to be a decisive moment to decide now that we are going to be sacrificing cows. See, look at any lexicon, any dictionary, look. Baqaratun, what does it mean? Cow or goat? They lost the case, obviously. All the Arabic will say, Baqara is a cow, not a goat, right? So, the Bani Israel have got this assignment. What's the assignment? Now, where this thing came from? If qataltum nafsan, fadda'ra'atum fiha. There was a murder in the Bani Israel, and there was a whole dispute as to who's the murderer. Because the nephew was the sole heir. The man that died, he had no children. He had no children, no ascendants and no descendants. So the son, means the brother's son, the asaba now, he becomes the heir. Totally is going to inherit the whole thing. But the nephew knows it, that I am the heir. But the old man is not dying. He is already hit 60, not dying, 70, not dying. And I am the heir now. You know, he is such a philanthropist, so wealthy he is, you know. He, gold is God, diamonds is God, factory is God. And now he dies, then I can take control. The man doesn't want to die. He's waiting for him. 60, 70, 80, now you can hold his patience. Killed him. Killed him and he made a claim now. See, my uncle, they killed him. Look for the murderer and we have to do something about it. So the case becomes even more complicated because the murderer made a claim. He's the claimant now. He's the muddai. He says, no, my uncle, they killed him. So look for the murderer. See, now they can't find. Because who's the claimant? The claimant is the murderer himself. So doesn't it become complicated? You stole. Right? He said, chor ko pakro, chor ko pakro. You stole. You say, now catch the rogue. So doesn't the case become complicated? So it became complicated. So now, they presented the whole case to Musa alayhi salam. Inna Allah ya'murukum an tazbahu baqara. So Musa alayhi salam, through divine intervention, he says, Allah Bak has commanded that you slaughter one cow. Right. Now, the word baqara, right, can refer to a male and can refer to a female as well. It can refer to both, right? In the Quran, if you look at the tafsir, it can refer to a male, it can refer to a female. Both. Although it would seem to be a female, but according to the tafsir, it can refer to both. But now, these people, they try to act clever. They said, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا, you're making a joke of us. See, this is the point that I want to share with you. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala. أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. What's the link? You're trying to discover the murderer, and you're asking us to slaughter an animal. Apparently, any connection. Any connection. So, they couldn't see what's the link. And when they couldn't see the link, they said, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. You're taking us as a joke. You're making a ridicule of us. The idea was just to listen. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. So this is where the whole Bani Israel, they went off at that point. And this is what you learn, you come to do in the Khanqa. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Some things will be clear to us. Some things may not be clear to us. Some things we may understand. Some things we may not understand. So, every route has got certain situations. And the one that knows about the road, he will tell you, alright, here you can drive fast, here you must go medium, here you must slow down. Right? He's been through the road, he knows. Here you must only travel in the day, don't go by night. And here you must travel by night, don't go by day. So the one that is very acquainted with the road, he'll tell you. He'll tell you what is to be done. So, in every science that's required. Every science that's required. An experienced person, and he will show you, and you do it according to how he shows, it will work out right. Sankhya, in Urdu, Sankhya is like a poison, right? Deadly, fatal, right? Sankhya. But now, some of these poisons, they use as medication. But now, what's used as a medication, everybody cannot administer. There must be like a very, very expert doctor. He knows the proportion. And with this, what has to be taken to get the effect and neutralize. See? So it's so strong that the patient needs it. So he needs a certain quantity he needs. But and I need to give something then to neutralize the effect. I'm just going to give him the poison, only the poison that is going to have a deadly effect. See? So the one that studied the whole cause, he'll know what he's all about. Just to make you understand, in India, they've got a very old history of 7,000 years, or 6,000 years, right? So, and the kingship runs in the family. He's the king, so the son, grandson, right? So the prince is going to be trained up. From the day he's born, they're going to train him up to be the king. So there are a lot of things just to train him up, you see. Like, one of the things they will do is they will have a dynamite. At the time the person is born, they have a dynamite. Why they do that? Because a king now must be able to take all type of sounds, frightening sounds. So from the birth now, if he heard this type of a weird sound, he's already used to it. The sound will not agitate him, will not give him ghabra. Now he's not used to it then, he'll get into shock, he'll get into a panic. So they get him to listen to this type of things, because he has to be in war, in situations that are serious, calm situations, he has to control. He can't lose his composure. And if he lost his composure, then can he run this? He can't run. Then, the king now, you see in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, inni arani asiru khamra, inni arani, and then the other one, ahmilu rasi ala asir, خُبْزًا تَعْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَعْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَاسِ. The interpretation is given, will be crucified, right? So, the allegation was that he tried to poison the king's food. So now, kings, all of them, kings, nobles, they are in that fear all the time. Someone can poison us, kill us, they try to do it discreetly. So now, to reverse the thing, to neutralize the thing, or reverse the thing, what they used to do in those days, like the child is born today, so they give him a very small amount, like a milligram of that poison. He's born, and milligram of that poison. Then they increase the dosage. So they increase the dosage, you know, by the time it's full, his body has become acquainted to it. So if someone tries to poison him, then that thing will reject. The body will reject it because his body is already used to it. So now, he killed his uncle, and then they are told, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tadhbahu baqara." And what's the question they're asking? "Atattakhizuna huzwa." It's a mistake. They were all supposed to do is sami'na wa ata'na. Just listen, carry out instruction. So that's the first lesson, abd. But you don't want to do that. If you don't want to do that, then you complicate things. How they complicate. So in the Khanqa, this is the first thing they try to teach you. Learn that I am nothing. I don't deserve anything. I am nothing, and I don't deserve anything. I must learn to become a slave. In the true sense of the meaning. Not just a slave in word, but in the true sense of the word, I must get the meaning of slave. See how that slave saying, whatever you offer, whatever you suggest, whatever food you offer, I will have that. But say that master says this, it's alright, that, alright. So whatever the master says, and he's prepared to do it. So why do they say this? They say this because the road requires a very high level of confidence. You need to have that level of confidence in the Shaykh. Now, the Shaykh is saying something and you're not confident enough, so you can't progress. He's telling you something, the thing works on your mind. And when it works on your mind, the relationship progresses when you've got that level of confidence. But you don't have that level of confidence, what they say, i'tiqad, then you can't progress. You see, it's a marital relationship, right? The marital relationship is based upon confidence and faith, right? You have faith in your wife. The wife holds you in confidence, that you are loyal to the marriage. So, to the extent that she will find loyalty and faith in you, will be the strength of the marriage. But if she discovers that this person is not faithful to the marriage, is cheating, now, will she show you that type of love? Or if you show, if you show that faithfulness and loyalty, she will show you, right? She will respond. But if she begins to doubt you, will she show you that respect? This man is cheating, he's doing this. So she will lose the respect. Similarly, if you discover that she has something else going on, then will you have that level of respect, confidence? Will it grow? Can it grow? So for this bond to grow, that level of faith is required, loyalty, right? If the husband says something, and wife is just carrying out instruction. Now, the husband is saying something, why, which kitab is, it comes that I must do this, who told me, show me the hadith for that, show me the Quranic ayat, show me the exact fiqh citing for that. For every second thing, show me the kitab. I ask you now, that relationship will go well. Will the relationship go well now? So, that level of confidence is required for this bond. Now, this relationship is even more refined. Because the bonding here is with Allah Ta'ala. We have a life relationship. So, see, the pious of the past, how was their relationship? The relationship was so great, right? So I'm owing you money, right? So I said, all right, I'm owing you 1 million rand. If you want, I got 1 acre of land. I will give you this 1 acre of land in lieu of that 1 million. All right. So you took the land, right? In exchange of that 1 million. So now the heart was different. So what he did, as he took that land, so he sat on one spot and he read 2 rakat namaz, a lot of dua. I said, alright, dig at this point, and the water just gushed out. But yeah, you see now the yaqeen that they had, the truth, the bonding, the relationship they had with Allah Ta'ala. Because they learned the whole thing, that you have to bond, you have to have that faith, that confidence. Right? Then you can progress. But now the mind is, will it work? And what guarantee I got? And who said it will work? And how can it work? But can it work? Will it work? So, the past, we had the yaqeen, the trust, confidence, and hence things used to work out for them very simply, very easily. But now, we don't have that faith. And we're trying to substitute the faith with reading material. Now, can it be a proper substitute? So one is bonding and one is reading. So the reading will help you, but can it be a substitute? It can't be a substitute. Bonding is different and reading material is something else. Two poles apart. So what is required is, that means the Bani Israel, when they heard the command from Musa alayhi salam, they didn't have that level of trust. And why they asked that? أَتَتَّخِذُنَا فُزُوَا. You see that? Had they had the trust in Musa alayhi salam, that faith in Musa alayhi salam, would they have asked the question, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا فُزُوَا? Would they have asked? They would have just readily complied. Oh, this is the way of Allah Ta'ala. It's the instruction of Allah Ta'ala. We must just comply. See that? So they had the trust. The whole thing starts off here at this point. A trust, confidence, faith, loyalty. That's the starting point. Now, in the past, the things to happen, people come with that frame. It was easy to work with the person. I just want to make a mark on the person's mind, I can make a mark. Why? Because they came with that frame of mind. Now, you don't come with that frame of mind, but you want the type of returns. Now, how does it happen? How does it happen? See, I want to enter some marks, right? But now you close the slate. Now, can those entries be made? So the mind is a slate. And this thing has to be transferred. And then now, this person is closing it. Now, how is it going to work out? See this Bernice restaurant. So it becomes complicated. Qul ulana rabbaka yubayyin lana ma hiya. Now tell us what this thing is all about. All they needed to يَعْبُرُكُمْ أَن تَزْبَحُوا بَقَرَىٰ. Let's go slaughter one cow, finish. That's the command they were given. Any cow you slaughter, slaughtered, right? Nakira is Nakira, isn't it? And the Nakira is Tahtan. And it's an umum, isn't it? Nakira أَن تَزْبَحُوا بَقَرَىٰ. Nakira is coming after an isbat. It's coming after an isbat, then it's for antasbahu baqara. Any cow. But now they want to be smart. No, Musa Islam didn't understand this thing. Otherwise, I can't see the connection. Cow and murder. How does it relate? So now, they made the whole thing complicated. Now, Musa alayhi salam is telling them, alright, this cow must be like this. إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا فَارِدُ وَلَا بِكْرَ. Mustn't be too young, mustn't be too old. أَوَانٌ بِيْرَةٌ, just middling in between. Not too old, and not too young. middle. So now, before the command was general. Now, from the they lost the comfort of a general command. They brought them. They got jammed into something specific. Don't do it like this, they're not right. See that? Before it was a general command, but now, when it was a general command, just do it and you get it right. But now, you try to be acting smart now, it became. It becomes difficult, you see. That's why, لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَلَكُمْ تَسُوكُمْ. Don't ask about things. If they made apparent, then it will hurt you. If it's made apparent, it will hurt you. All right, now you know that you're coming from this stock. This is your father, this is your mother. Now you go for a DNA and all that. Then you find out that somewhere your fifth or sixth grandfather, he entered into an illegitimate relationship with someone. Now, will you feel hurt or not? The DNA is showing now exactly where this thing is leading up. That is showing you, right? So now, when you went into that, now, will that be hurtful or not? Will that be painful or not? Who asked you to get into that? There was no need for you to get into that. So who asked you to get into that? You know, your parents were in a bona fide marriage, right? But above that now, the 6th, 7th generation, you're going to try to find out that. And it's possible that the information, the DNA, doesn't have to be totally conclusive. With all medical things, they say 99% chance. Don't they say that? 99% it may work out. So they have to secure themselves, save them personally. 1% cannot work out. 99% may work out. They have to secure themselves. Now, maybe the same thing, that your parents may have been all bona fide, right, legitimate. But this thing is showing something else. Now, are you going to have a doubt about your lineage or not? See, لَا تَسْأَلُوا أَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِنْ تُبْدَلَهُ. Why get into an area that will bring pains and problems for you? Don't do all these things. You know, they say self-imposed. It's a pain that you imposed on yourself. You didn't need to do that. So life was easy. The tasawwuf was easy. But when you went to show yourself how smart, now you made it difficult. Now, that was not sufficient. They got the description that la faridu wa la bikr. Now they say, Sai Salaam, go and find out what color. What it is? And what color? Really, when I think about the Musa alayhi salam, he must have been a very, very tolerant person. Extremely tolerant. He could have just told him, go and fly kite. Finish. Gave his command. But what level of endurance Musa alayhi salam must have had? He endured them with all the stupidity. He endured it. I got all the description. Now what they say? Show the color. Hey, go and make one. Go. Kurbani, slaughter one goat. That's 1 year, right? Now what color it must? No one can make a difference. Whether it's white, whether it's brownish white, whether it's black and white. Is it going to make a difference? Just make Kurbani of one animal. First, end of the story. But now, what was the need for you to ask all these type of questions? Right? It was one of we have got really upset with the person, isn't it? It's one cow or one goat, 1 year old, must go now. You don't want to entertain anything further than that, right? But now, what level does the Nabi must have got? What intern he has to get? So now he says, alright, Bakaratun Safra, the Surun Nazari. You know, it's this color, fawn color. So you look at it, you know, it's a admiration to the eye, marvels the eye. Still they're not happy. Mahia. Inshallah, now last they said they opened their minds and Allah's special mercy came unto them. They had to say Inshallah. When they said Inshallah, now it was they came to some closure because they said Inshallah. And if they not said Inshallah, they could have been going in circles till the day of Qiyamah. One way, circles. So a lot of things they made haram for themselves. عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا مَا قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمَا was the ayat شُحُومَهُمَا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا the fat was made haram. إِلَى الْحَوَايَا وَمَخْتَلْتَ ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ So really, fat wasn't an unhealthy food. See, what the Sharia, what it prohibits you is a food that is unhealthy spiritually or physically. But, so some things may not be good for your spiritual good, your spiritual well-being, and some for your physical well-being. So the Sharia will, so Allah is saying, ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ It was not because this food was unhealthy, but these people, they overstepped the mark. We punish them because of that. They now we don't eat. You're causing problems now. You're making life difficult for yourself. Now, you get that crowd of people, you know, they either suspicious, superstitious, every small thing, and they didn't train themselves. Or wrong association. Sometimes you don't train yourself, and sometimes it's wrong association, and you become a superstitious person. Says everything is a problem. Everything is a problem. All the mazahib are unanimous that you don't have to make the niyat verbally, right? In the mind also you can make the niyat for it. Four rakat of zahar behind the imam. But now a person got a suspicious mind. So now he's going to make the niyat verbally. Allah Pak four rakat of namaz of zuhar behind this imam. Right? But he's still clear. 1% not. What if it's someone else now? Allah Pak behind this man here, the Mawlana Ismail. Four rakat namaz behind this imam who's called Mawlana Ismail. Not clear. See what the suspicion will do to you. Then you go to clear the mind completely now. You know, you go right by the imam to say, Allah Pak, four rakat namaz, see this one here. See what it is. Dhalika jazainaum bibaghi. You made life difficult for yourself. Why? You became a victim of suspicion. So the suspicion brings you to this point. Everything is a suspicion. And you may think this is it's a small thing, but you have this problem. I know the email you get. Some auntie will tell you, take 1 hour to have a wuzu. 1.5 hour to make ghusl. Now that you know, just thinking about namaz, it's like a problem for them. Isn't it a problem for them? Hey, now I have to make wuzu, the wuzu will be 1 hour. Whereas that wuzu won't take you even 2 minutes, only 1.5 minutes. If you do it properly, 1.5 minutes. Over. But now you became a victim of suspicion. No, maybe this and that, maybe no, I'm supposed to read. So I have to answer them that washing 3 times is sunnah, more than 3 times is not a sunnah. So you're not going to get any sawab for it. And if it had been an act of sawab, sahaba ikram would have washed more than thrice. So 3 times enough, cut a point, leave it. Don't go beyond that, finish. No sawab for that. They think it's an act of taqwa. Oh, wash it again. Wash it again. So, you think it's an act of taqwa, but really you're bringing problems to yourself. So, the thought of namaz will be a dreadful thought. You know, I have to get my namaz. So then, so much of wuzu, so much of time. And then I can get into namaz. Otherwise my namaz won't be valid. That's the use of namaz. See, what happens? This whole Bani Israel story. So at the end, then they thought of Allah Ta'ala, wa inna insha'Allah la muhtadun. We're talking about tawajjuh. Right? And we talk about tawajjuh in ikasi, that's the entry level. So when you come in an environment, then you feel some level of inspiration. Feel motivated, you feel driven, and that level, that entry level, is not your own, it's borrowed. It's the force or the heat of the environment that makes you feel like that. And the proof of that is thrown out of that environment, you're back to square one. So at that level now you have to be very careful. See, you're coming up. Because the light is just coming up, starting off slowly. So you have to be very, very careful. Extremely careful. Until you come to the first level, second level. Second level, ilqai or ispai, whatever you call it, right? So at the second level now, it's like you just got a candle that's lit up now, right? Now you're going with a lit candle, you're going out. How long it will last? Is it got any life? No life. So, it's such a delicate situation now. You need the light. Because you don't know where you are. Imagine now you're in total darkness, abject darkness. Can't see anything. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَقَدْ يَرَاهَا. Can't even see your head. It's so dark. So now if you've got a little bit of light, you have to be very careful. Cover the thing up. See, no wind gets it, no rain gets the thing. Right? You mustn't stumble, lose that light. So therefore, at the beginning they will tell you that you need to be very, very careful. If you want to maintain that light, you have to be very careful. So some places and some things may be permissible, but they will ask you, don't do it. Right? Because you're still starting. You're still starting, you haven't got your stability and firmness. So they're asking you, why don't do something? Though, in essence, it was permissible. But they ask you to leave it. Why? They need to get you to become stable, strong, and firm. So, in essence, it's permissible. Right? But now they ask you to leave it because they know you are thrown in that and you won't be able to restrain yourself. Like, for example, going into a shop environment, right? It's permissible. Nothing is permissible. But we know still that you are not yet stable. You're not yet strong. Something will catch your attention. Something will catch your attention this side. And then, first you say, amen, this is not a good place. The music, the girls, the dress, and whatever is going on, ambiance is not right. Then, what happens to the human mind is, he goes on to the second level, says, but Ambiya used to go to the streets, so what? Mali hadar rasul ya'kul al-ta'am wa yamshi fil aswaq. So what's wrong with that? Can't become more biased than that. See, now how you reason for yourself? You don't understand that the Ambiya had that level of restraint. Ayyukum amlaku li arabi. Have you got control like the Ambiya? Restrain that. Have you got it? Have you got that control? You can't. You don't even start something, and then before you know it, and the game is up. We have that control, that restraint. But do you have that restraint? So you may think to yourself, what's wrong with that? But now then you became a victim. Every small little excuse that you want to go to a shopping area. So that's why the hadith says, don't be the first one to enter into a shopping area, because that's the nursery of the shaitan. It's the nursery, the hatching grounds for the shaitan. When it's small, it hatches all of this small in the shopping areas. Urdu, they say bazaar. Today, the shopping area can be locked. One is malls, one is supermarkets, right? some are more shaitanic and some are less shaitanic. Both are shaitan. The shaitanism in it is so evident, right? It's so evident. You went to the shop with the credit facility of 1,000 rand. We say, hey, so much of variety and chocolates, the range. And look at the coffees, man. Well, one friend was telling me. So I am surprised. See that when he had coffee and bean or something, or whatever. Bean and coffee, whatever. So he bought all his friends. So he told me, it was cheap, not an expensive one. So you know what I mean? One cup, small cup, only 35 rand, that's all. Finally, the madrasa, you could feed at least 10 people for that money. I think with biscuits also. Coffee and biscuit. And yeah, now you say 35 rand a cup, not cheap. It's not expensive. And that was a very cheap line. So now, then I can understand now what would be the expensive thing like. So, that shopping life today has become a culture, you see. It's become a culture. Yeah. Which dunya are you living? We didn't even have a cup. You didn't even go to the coffee shop. What a big gunai kabira you've done. You know the cupboard they'll ask you about. You drank from coffee and bean and water. Huh? You never drink. What a big gunai. Become a culture, you have to do it. You have to do it. And I ask you, to a certain level, is it israf or not? You would have done the same thing at home, in a better, more comfortable environment, right? Without any status, right? Relaxed. You have done something. No, it's having that, like that. My mother, of whom? She should be an addict of the Sheikh's Kitab, so she would quote. So she says, Khaishat kabhi zaruriyat ban jate hai. What? Khaishat zaruriyat ban jate hai. You know, your temptation, after some time, it becomes needs. What? This is temptation, or I tempt something you appeased your nafs, you had it, right? But now, I must have this coffee, that strength, and have that ice cream. See that khayshat, then that becomes zaruriyat. Therefore, ulama kiram warns, they don't ever become addicted to this comfort. Because, see that an alim, who's got addicted to all this luxuries, he can't be khidmat. Now, you think to yourself that if they send you in Jamaat, right, in some very remote place in Pakistan or wherever, right, can you work there? No shops there, nothing, absolutely. And they ask you that you have to stay about 2 months and work. No shops, nothing. You carry your own atta and see the village got any milk, and do your own thing. Will it be manageable? Now, you used to all this Kentucky, that coffee shop, whatever luxuries, now that became an addiction. It became an addiction. Can you go and work in this place? So a man is different. Man will be hard. You got it, alhamdulillah. You don't have it, mashallah. Not that I have to have it before I start off. That mind is not right. Came mashallah, and it didn't come also mashallah. All of those things. That's the meaning of al-bazazatu min al-iman. Simplicity is iman, is faith. So sometimes that israf can come in two ways, right? One is israf, right? I don't have the money, but now I saw you got it, so I want to have it as well. You got a car, this type of a car, you got Lexus, so I want it. Right? So now I have to borrow, I have to do something else, pick a lie here, go to the bank, and get that money and buy that car. Would that not be called israf? That qanaat, qanni'ni bima razaqtani, is teaching you something else. What is teaching you? Do according to your means. You can't afford that 1.5 million. You can't afford something 55,000, 100,000. It'll do your work. Move with that. No, man. What people will think? What people will think? That I can't, I'm not in that league. So sometimes this fault here is at two levels. One is at the level of the poor, because he's admiring what you got and he's aspiring for that. So he's going to be involved in call it israf, call it greed, call it whatever else. And sometimes it is a mistake of the wealthy. It becomes a mistake of the wealthy, how it becomes a see, that wealthy is supposed to be not flashing around this wealth. Enjoy it within the confines of the house. Don't advertise it, don't flash around it. Because a consideration to the poor means, requires that you don't show him. If you show it to him, that he is also a human being, but it's a human being that he wants to aspire for what you got. And you know he can't afford it. See, Imam Ghazali writes all these things in his Hiyaluddin. He says that some places to speak about the fazilat of the Hajj is a requirement. Sometimes faraz, sometimes wajib, right? And sometimes it's not permissible. It's a community, they can't afford it at all. But you're talking at a very high pitch. They can't afford it. And you're talking at a very high pitch that they must be Hajj. Now, so much you spoke about it, he's going to put himself into curse, into debts, difficulties, get that money, go for Hajj. Would that be right? He's going to put himself into difficulty and other people in difficulty. So that consideration to that person requires that you don't speak. See? So similarly, you don't advertise your things, right, to the person that is lesser privileged. You don't advertise it. He also will aspire. In Deoband there was Mawla Azhar Miasa, quite wealthy, very wealthy. And he preferred to have a mud burnt home. So every year now, when the rainy season comes, you have to fix it up again. So, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah is his student. Mufti Shafi Sahib says to him, you know, you got the money, why didn't you put it up one time? Every year the rainy season comes, monsoon comes, you have to redo your house. So now, this Muzugan Adin also, they are great, they'll teach you, but gently, easily. You know, it's a very, very good idea. Good idea. You should be thinking like that. It's a good idea. Then everything was relaxed after a day or two. Now he opens it and says, no, what suggestion you proposed is good. Then I'm thinking, see, this whole neighborhood, nobody can afford this type of a home. And if I'm going to put up this type of a home, that person that's living in the neighborhood really feel hurt a lot. Yeah. And don't I have a right to what my neighbor? Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyukrim dhaifa, falyukrim jara. Don't I have a right towards him? I'm going to do this thing, what's going to happen to him? Won't he feel grieved and pain? That's why it's an adab, like you're taking some food, so you don't take it open, like your fresh donut you bought, right? And open now. But the person can't afford it, and he's seeing the thing, won't he also crave for it? So I said, well, buy is alright, but conceal the thing, close the thing. I took some of the people in Springer Beach, because it's a coastal area. And you get a wind sometimes. By the bride, please try and keep it confined in your kitchen. Because living in the open, that thing is going in the whole neighborhood. You can get the steak coming up. And sometimes you're getting sausages, you can see the smell coming up. Well, a lot of people are coming here. And they're getting that smell of the thing. Won't they feel it? So what considerations? are we considerate? So that wrong is on both sides, sometimes on the poor, sometimes on the wealthy, both. Both need to correct themselves. Since Bani Israel, we're talking of tawajjuh ilqai. Others, you should not say that. People think that the tawajjuh only makes zikr and all that, and finish. So I get the whole mind right. And the whole mu'ashara, akhlaq, mu'amalat, get everything right. Because the command is udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Coming to Islam, come complete. Not, you can't say that one leg in Islam, one leg out of Islam, complete. Like you want to live in a house, that is complete, right? It's not complete then, will you want to live in that house? The whole house is there, but there's no plumbing, no water at all. You want to live there. Now, for your washing and your clothing and your water, you have to go 20 meters out. But you want to stay in that condition. So you want everything to be so. You want a house of kamila. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, come complete. Now, you've got a house, everything is there. But there's no kitchen at all. No appliances, no kitchen, no freezer, nothing. What happened? As it is now, when there was load shedding here, there's kiamas for a lot of the ladies. Load shedding just coincided with the samosa season. Clashed. The gabra they were getting was, we just made the samosas out. Okay, they had to come with the load shedding. So now I'm saying you that, see, if that is incomplete, you don't want to be there. And Allah also says, I want you to come to Islam, but come complete. Get it right. There's no such thing that just take a chance, just pick and choose, and just do things radically. All that, leave it. For everything, there's a sequence, there's a way, understand it, how it happens. Inshallah, you'll get there. There's a way, there's a procedure. But understand how it happens, what has to be done first, the list of priorities, second, third, fourth, fifth, get all the secrets. We'll talk about this afterwards, inshallah.